the tagline in that commercial, for 175 years, we've been helping people to look back and say, we've got it right, we did good. Sounds a little bit like, well done, good and faithful servant. So may we do the same, people of God, may we do the same. And we'll talk about that commercial in a bit. But right now, please pray with me. Loving God, we thank you for this morning, for the song and the prayer and the gifts that have been offered, for our presence together to worship you, to share our love with you and receive yours. May your love keep carrying us through this series. May the words of the scripture, the meditations of my heart, the words that are spoken today and the ways that we hear them and think about our lives be pleasing to you on this day. In the name of the living Christ, we give this to you. Amen. In this message series so far, we've been exploring the ideas that God, Father, Son, and Spirit is love. Love with a capital L, maybe love with all caps. Love of the kind embodied and inspirited in the poems, the stories, the prophecy of Scripture, which is God's love story with humanity. Love of the kind incarnated in flesh, born in a manger, raised in a poor and oppressed minority, a man who laughed and wept with friends, a divine being who did miracles, a savior who climbed on the cross. God came come to the ends of the earth to love humankind. Love of a kind that we are called to follow and to live out as disciples of Christ. That love, that big L, all caps, love, rather eclipses our romantic idea of Valentine's Day, doesn't it? Love comes in many forms, in many layers and depths and relationships. And today we explore more the kinds of love and communication that are at the foundation of a healthy friendship and a healthy relationship. The commercial that we just saw was, I first saw during the Super Bowl, when I watch the commercials and go to the kitchen during football. But it talks about types of love, ancient Greek words for love, which is many of what is written in the Bible. And there are actually more words in ancient Greek for love. So we're going to review those we were just given and add a few more. And this is important because a lot of the times when we read the word love in the Bible, it's meaning one of several things, and we have to kind of tease that out as we work through Scripture in a passage. And eros is sexual or passionate love, the time most akin to our modern construct of romantic love. Next week, Pastor Chad will be talking more about this form of love as it relates to intimacy of body and heart. Ludus is playful or uncommitted love. This could be flirting or dating or viewing love as a game, reality show love, perhaps. Pragma is the kind of practical love founded on reason or duty or long-term interest. And it's certainly part of loving one's family and one's partner, and I think even of loving one another in the church, that caring for one another is part of what we are called to do. Philia, or friendship, is shared goodwill that comes from knowing one another. It's a part of marriage, it's a part of friendship, it's a part of being the body of Christ. And it's founded on goodness associated not only with mutual benefit, we're in a relationship, but with companionship, dependability, trust, and I'm going to add vulnerability to that list. Storge is familial love, pertaining to the love between parents and children, siblings, grandparents, and all the iterations of family structures that we have in our world. Agape is universal love, love for strangers, nature, or God. It's a love of charity or caring for God's people and the world. It's a love, I think, that reaches beyond ourselves as we see the world with God's eyes. And unlike storge, it doesn't depend on affiliation or familiarity. And last is philautia, which is self-love. And that can be either healthy self-esteem and self-care, or unhealthy vanity and self-absorption. When Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, I think he is pointing to this kind of love. That is a lot of kind of love, making the world go around, one of my parents' favorite love songs, isn't it? Lots of kinds of love. And I'm not sure we can always break those down. Chad talked in the intro of this series about how we say we love chocolate and we love our cat and we love our partner and we loved that movie and we love our children and our grandchildren and the server you see every week at Lux. I love the people of Guatemala. And there's times I've felt love for a stranger with which I've just had some heartfelt connection. And we do call all those love, and they are all love, because love is beautiful, and it's wide, and it's endless, and it's complicated. Chad spoke last week about conflict in relationship, and the idea of speaking the truth in love, and of assuming positive intent of each other, even when we feel hurt or angered by the words or the action. And Jesus tells us to talk with someone directly, not talk about them, not try to work the problem out with someone else, but to talk to the person, to seek understanding and reconnection, to offer grace and forgiveness. There's a line from writer Anne Voskamp that I just love. How can I deny you the grace that has been so freely given to me? Being willing to hear, to understand, to be understood, to still disagree, to forgive and move forward in love. That's grace, and that is the hard stuff of loving. Love is complicated, and it's harder than it looks in the movies, right? And it makes us vulnerable to hurt. And in one of my underlying pastoral philosophies, write this down, people are so people-y. We have a saying in the family that I raised when we were commenting on the foibles of others. My kids would say, some people's kids, which is really shorthand for they messed it up, but we're your kids and we can mess it up too. Some people's kids. Because we know that conflict arises and that it can be relationship stressing and breaking. Our feelings get hurt, our triggers get tripped, our wounds get poked, our fears get spoken, our anger gets stirred. But as we think about it, usually not right off the bat, and some of what arises is what about those pesky people that we love do, and some of it is about who they are, but much of it is about who we are. And our own reactions and responses. How and why do our feelings get hurt? Our triggers get tripped. Our wounds get poked. Our fears get spoken. And our anger stirred. So if you remember the last of those Greek words we learned, philautia, self-love. Healthy self-love, which always contains some self-knowledge. So somewhere between I love you, you can do no wrong, the starry-eyed part of falling in love, and the I hate you, I never want to see you again, a broken relationship, is a lot of communication and a lot of room for learning and love and grace. And somewhere in the spectrum of love and relationship, from casual acquaintance to coworker to brother and sister in Christ that we have here, to friend circle, to close friend and confidant, to romantic love, to partner, there is a lot of room for learning love and grace. regardless of the relationship, those things are present, and there are some tools that are helpful, and we'll explore some of those today. And there are certainly a lot of resources in the Bible. If the Bible is about God, and God is love, there really should be a lot about love in the Bible, and there is. And this first passage is familiar for a reason. It's a love map in four sentences from 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So if that is a description of the kind of love that God is, can this be true of us who follow in love's way? It sounds so wonderful. It's part of weddings. My sister used to do calligraphy mountings of this that were just gorgeous and are part of our family. But it can be so hard to honor in our hearts and our spirits. Those are hard things sometimes to live into when the going gets rough. So I have a couple of resources that I'd like to introduce this morning that can help our hearts and spirits grow as we try to follow in love's way, as we try to become that kind of love. And one of the tools is a book by writer Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. How many of you have read that along the way? Some. This book was written 30 years ago, but it remains valid and important and relevant in its sixth edition along those 30 years. And essentially, the book offers this idea that most of us express and receive love in five different ways, five languages of love: quality time spent with one another, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So think for a minute. Do you have people in your life that you know who will spend time with you at the drop of a hat, make you feel so good in the positive and affirming things they easily say, are the best gift givers, show up to help you do things when things need to be done, sometimes even when you haven't asked them, and people who give the absolute best hugs? If you can think of those folks in your life, you've probably just identified their primary love language. If you think of the one you most readily do, you probably have just identified yours. What is your love language? What is your partner or your friend's love languages? Usually the one you most want or need to receive is the one you most readily offer. That makes sense. But the disconnect becomes quickly apparent. If my love language is physical touch, and I'm giving and craving physical affection, and my husband Mark's is words of affirmation, and he's giving and craving positive words and feedback, we can both be loving with all of our might, but our love is kind of passing each other by. We're not receiving the love that's given in the way it's intended, and our love is not being received in the way that we would wish it to. This is a book and a concept that has stood the test of time. It's a not too terribly complicated way at looking at differences. At this point, there are over 12 million copies in print in numerous languages, and there are versions, love languages for children, for teenagers, in addition for men, of loved ones with Alzheimer's, on relationship with God, and one on apology, the love languages of apology that I think is really excellent. And this is a ministry for Dr. Chapman, who's a a therapist and a minister, and there's a Christian component in the books, and there's devotional Bibles and other marriage tools as well. And now, of course, it's 2020, so there's online quizzes and podcasts and Audible books and all the things we would expect. And we have a few copies of this out on our library cart in the hallway, and Willard Library has many of those titles. And I was looking at my original copy of this book, which has a little note in it from my sister-in-law, given for Christmas in 1998 to our family. And I can remember creating a simple test for my kids, who might have been like 8 and 11 at this time, to find out their love language and how excited they were to be asked, and the impact of that understanding and that conversation on our family at the time, and that it's been a language that we've continued to talk over the years as they've gotten married and found relationships, as who they are has shifted and changed. We can come back to this resource as a way to talk about how we love one another well. My second resource is one I've talked about a few times. It's a spiritual wisdom tool, a personality understanding tool called the Enneagram, the 9 types. And this has been one of the most impactful personal and spiritual learning tools that I've found. And I've been studying it for about 15 years. And it's given me ways to notice my own behavior, my own rough edges, and my motives in a way that's been really significant. In my young adult's college age at the time, introduced our family to this tool. And it, too, has given us ways to understand one another and address our strengths and our challenges with common language. We share no types in our family. Mark and I have found it really helpful in our marriage. We don't yet have resources on this in our church library. I'll work on fixing that. But Willard Library definitely does. This is a pretty trendy tool right now. There's times it has been just in monasteries and Orthodox and Catholic traditions, but right now this is being applied not only in churches, but in workplaces and in relationship. So one of my commitments, because I was talking about this and believe in it, I'm going to run 3 different sessions of introductory Enneagram classes in March. So that's my Lenten spiritual practice and commitment. So there'll be 3 hours. I think I'll do a daytime and an evening and a Saturday one. So you can just dabble your toes in this and learn a little bit and start using it. And it may be a good way, if you feel like I am who I am and I don't know if I need to know any more about me, it's a really good way to cross generational divisions, because a lot of young people are familiar with this tool, they understand it, they're exploring it, there's friends are, so it's a way to introduce some new language of understanding and being known into your family. Because ultimately, both of these, the Enneagram and the 5 love languages, along with many, many other tools and resources, there's all kinds of them in the world. These are just 2 of my favorites. Are best used to learn about ourselves and to understand differences between us. The tools become a spiritual practice and a spiritual resource if we notice our own edges and failures and offer them to God in surrender. We have a hard time changing ourselves. We have a much better chance of becoming who God wants us to be if we learn about ourselves and offer that to God and let God make the way to where God wants us to be. So let the unconditional love of God touch those rough places. Allow God to heal your wounds. Just sit with God and be, and God will show you love's way, right? Love's way to the person you were created to be. And I think the bookend scripture to that 1 Corinthians 13 piece that we know so well is in Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit creates, not we create, not God told us to create, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Another kind of roadmap to be love's way. So if God is love, and you are of God, and you are with God, then God is creating love in you. And God is creating love that looks like that. And your job is to create room for God to do so. The message title today is That's What Friends Are For. Remember that song? Dionne Warwick and Friends. And friendship is all about love. Philia, agape, storge, pragma, all those kinds of love. Family, self-giving, practical, affinity. And I'm a huge believer in friends. This is kind of the water that I swim in, to be honest. As a woman, I've always enjoyed friendship in big circles and small circles and sports and workplaces and in church. With individual girls and with women, and all of these things have accompanied me and carried me through life. I have sailing sisters and spirit sisters and sisters in Christ, and a real sister with whom I'm blessed to be friends, and daughters who are friends. And these are friends with whom I've laughed and cried and played and shared and prayed and listened and howled at the moon. And I've been blessed with this reality through my entire life, but I've come to realize as I've done these apprentices' journeys that this isn't true for all women, certainly not true for all men. So I encourage you to think about the place of friendship in your life. I've had some male friends along the way. Certainly consider Mark my friend and Chad a good friend and brother, but it's a different kind of friendship for me than the friendship of women. So I was thinking about male friendship, and I started here. This is Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends who comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I honestly, for perfectly evident reasons, can't speak well about male friendship. So I talked to Chad, and I talked to Mark, and I talked to some other men I trust this week, just to find out, and I don't know as they understand it either. So many men I've known and observed seem to find that primary friendship in their partner. And male friendships seem to center more around some combination of common purpose and interests: sports, military service, family, church, work, shared interests, music. And that doesn't, it's just a different kind of forming of friendship, I think, that can happen. And I've seen some beautiful examples. Jim Ritter's eulogy of his decades-long friendship with Gary Beard, if you were here for Gary's funeral, was incredibly moving. The care and friendship many of you extend to Mike Vandenhavel in this season is the same. My husband, Mark, was an ice hockey official for over 25 years in Michigan in the Southeast, and he hung up his skates a few years ago. But last week, he took several days to drive down to South Carolina, not a little zip, and hang with his best referee buddy, whose name is Ben, who was doing his last few games before retiring. And in the 15 years that Mark has not been in South Carolina, there was a long season of his life where he and his family lived there. Since he's left there, Mark has seldom talked with Ben. I send Christmas cards on our behalf. He hasn't seen him much. But they just fully friended it up around this event. Mark stayed near him, and they went to a game in Charlotte, and they went to a game in Charleston, and they just hung around for about 3 days. And Mark said that when he saw him, it was like they'd never been apart, like there was no distance between them. And I was really proud of Mark, who doesn't invest a lot in friends, for giving that much time and energy, two things he really highly values, to support Ben and the friendship in that way. And I think male friendship can sometimes look like that. And the mechanisms may be different in each relationship, but friendship between any two people is amazing and can be so life-giving. And friendship can often be easy, but it's not always. We watch friendships play out in really lovely ways in this congregation, groups of fun and play and interest and care and concern and love in action. We see your friendships, we hear about them sometimes in funerals, we watch you take care of one another. A few weeks ago, as we ended the Jubilee series, we talked about celebration, and there is so much to celebrate here. So I encourage you to do that in the week ahead. Reach out to a friend you haven't seen. Send un-Valentine cards to your friends. Guys, just go have lunch. Go do something together. Whatever works. And remember that friendship can often be easy, but it's not always. In many ways, the closer you become, the more you are known, the more you are required to be honest and vulnerable, and the more potential for real hurt and conflict emerge. Chad talked about conflict within the church body last week, and I think there is some vulnerability that comes with our expectation that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. There's often this call to unity and love and understanding that isn't quite always present. We have to work for that. In both bonds of friendship and church family, however, we remain very human, and we are indeed capable of hurting others and of being hurt. So I encourage you to reach into your toolbox, your scriptural one, your emotional one, your spiritual one, the unending pile of grace that we are all given. Use the tools to understand who you are, to be healthy, to soften up your own edges. Use the tools to understand who others are so that you may love them better, not to judge them or fix them more, as we sometimes want to do. Use the tools to have the hard conversation, whether it's with a friend or a church member or a coworker, trusting that love and care and grace are present, and knowing that God's love is leading the way, because that, people of God, is what friends are for. I'm going to invite the praise team to come in, and please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this time, and I thank you for just the endless circles of friends that are present in this congregation, for all the ways that we care for one another, love one another, seek to be in connection and care and caretaking with one another. May we keep following your example of loving beyond ourselves, of loving in ways where we need to reach for you to be the kind of love you have called us to be. We thank you for all that we have been given in this way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.